Grace, mercy, and peace from God our Father and Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. If there had been TV 2,000 years ago, the evening news might have sounded a little bit like this. Welcome to the Jewish Broadcasting System and station JEWS. We bring you live, local, and late-breaking news from Jerusalem, from Judea, and all of the known world. And then the reporter may have come on and said, "Good evening, there is breaking news from Bethlehem tonight where there is shock and grief and mourning. Early this morning, a Roman centurion with about 80 men dispatched to that small town about a three-hour walk south of Jerusalem. Apparently, that was at the direction of the King Herod, who killed as many as 24 innocent babies and toddlers by the Roman soldiers. Officials said those who were killed were under the age of 2. Rumors have been circulating for months that a king had been born there. When Herod asked the chief priests, they confirmed that Isaiah had prophesied that a savior, a king of the Jews, would be born in that quaint little town. When he realized that the wise men from the east had fooled him and weren't coming back to tell him where the newborn king was, it is said that Herod flew into a rage and ordered that killing. The official news release from Herod's palace simply said that the killings were carried out to prevent future uprisings by someone claiming to be king of the Jews. There is further an unconfirmed report that at least one family fled to Egypt. They don't know how lucky they are. A candlelight vigil will be held tonight in the town square." Doesn't that actually sound a little bit familiar for today? This morning there was news about an attempted killing at a synagogue someplace on the East Coast. We hear about mass shootings and mass killings all the time. This is a tough gospel lesson that we have today. It certainly doesn't fit the picture of Christmas that the world would have us believe Christmas is to be all about. And we have to wonder why we hear that story like this, a sad story, kind of a gory story, right after Christmas. Why now, when just last Tuesday, 5 days ago, we were singing Joy to the World and Silent Night, and we heard about peace on earth? This text kind of overwhelms that quiet, that solemn, that peaceful atmosphere that we had on Christmas Eve. It brings us back to the reality of the world after those warm, fuzzy scenes of Christmas Eve and Christ's birth. There are a few things that we should note about the timing of this story. First of all, we have to remember that the stories of Jesus' birth and his life have been compressed by the gospel writers. Next Sunday, we're going to hear that Jesus is 12 years old. So this story may have occurred several months, perhaps even more than a year after Jesus was born. Nevertheless, these dark events stand in stark contrast to the brightness of Christmas that we just experienced. And so we have to kind of wonder, why must we now hear these words? What can we take home from the story of babies being killed? One of the things that we need to remember is that Jesus wasn't born into a perfect world. It was because of those kinds of atrocities. It was because of those kinds of brokenness in the world that Jesus came in the first place. He came because the world in which we live is just not a perfect place. While the darkness of this world has not overcome Christ's light, the darkness of the world can still be very dark indeed. That darkness is very, very real to those people who suffer from the atrocities and the tribulations and the trials of this world today. And so if we were to insist that Christmas and the world always be bright, we would be doing a disservice to a lot of people. That darkness of this world is very real to those people who are suffering from trials and tribulations. So if we demand too much of this world, then we're running the risk of causing some suffering people to even experience greater despair. It is in this time of Christmas that we need to remember that Jesus came precisely because this world is broken. It's broken then, it's broken today, and it is still in desperate need of God's intervention. Our problem gets to be that we think God may not have an interest in what's happening in this world. It's easy to blame Him for the brokenness of the world and the evil things that go on and happen. It's easy for us to question why God allows people like Amanda to be afflicted with illnesses that have such negative impact on their lives. Christmas Day, I was at the hospital speaking with Ralph, and I say this with his permission. We were talking about God's plan for us and how it seems to impact our lives, and his comment during a very contemplative moment was this: I don't know what God has in mind for me, but it doesn't make sense. It doesn't make sense. And how true is that? We could easily be asking God, why was it necessary for all those babies in Bethlehem to die because of the anger and fear of one evil old man? That just doesn't make sense to us. The world doesn't seem to make sense to us. And I suspect that the actions of human beings don't make sense to God either. We might also ask God why He doesn't do something. Why doesn't He change this world? The answer is He has already done something. In response to the brokenness of the time when those babies were killed, in response to the brokenness of the world today, He sent Christ into this world. He sent His Son here to begin that process of repairing the world. He sent His Son to bring the good news of God's grace and love and forgiveness. He sent His Son to offer the world an opportunity to break the cycle of killing and atrocities. He sent His Son to offer humanity an opportunity for human life in spite of our brokenness. The problem is that we question whether God is really in control. Does He really take the bad things in this world and turn them to good? The ultimate example of this was the story of Job in the Old Testament. Satan took everything away from Job within a matter of weeks. He took his livestock, took his servants, took his wife, took his children, and he left him sitting in ashes with sores and sickness. And yet Job didn't lose his faith. And ultimately everything, and even more than he had, was restored to him. And then there's the story of Joseph. His brothers were jealous of him and didn't like him because he was their father's favorite son, and so they sold him into slavery in Egypt. There he spent some time as a slave, but he ultimately gained the Pharaoh's confidence. But then when he refused the Pharaoh's wife, he was thrown into prison. And after more time in prison, he was placed in charge of all of the food distribution in the country, so that when his brothers came asking for food to take back to famine in Israel, he said to them, "You meant it for good or for bad, but God meant it for good." That's a hard thing for us to grasp or appreciate. But as a result of that, Jacob and his family moved to Egypt, where they lived for 400 years. And only then, after 400 years, did God send Moses to lead the people out of Egypt and into the promised land. How differently everything would have been if Joseph's brothers had simply killed him out there in the desert and told his father about it. How different things would have been if Joseph would have said yes to the Pharaoh's wife. How different the history of Judaism and Christianity would have been if Joseph had taken revenge on his brothers. The story that Matthew paints of the world today is a pretty ugly picture. It's a world in which evil and fearful old man slaughters a bunch of innocent children. But it was and it continues to be part of the brokenness in this world in which we live. And so this story is grim and difficult for us to hear. And yet it is into this very dark and evil world, that's the world that Christ was born into. It is into this world that he came to live and to save and to transform it and to redeem all of us. It is only after thousands of years of hindsight that we can today look back and see the reason for all of these things that happened, which those people at that time certainly could not have seen. So you see, God has a plan for the world. The prophets of old told us what would happen hundreds of years in advance. They said a virgin will conceive, a child will be born in a lonely cattle stall. That child will be taken to Egypt to foil Herod's evil plan. He will grow up in Nazareth and be called a Nazarene. He will die on a cross, and he will rise again to save not only people back then, but us today as well. God has a plan for us, and he's carrying it out. What will be coming to us this year? We don't know. But we know that God has a plan, a perfect plan for salvation for us and for all of the world. He has a plan for you. He has a plan for me. He has a plan for us as a congregation. It will not be foiled. It might not make sense to us, and we might not understand. But he has promised that he will be with us even to the end of the earth. Amen. Now may the peace of God that surpasses all understanding keep your hearts and minds through faith in Christ Jesus. Amen.